Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here on a Tuesday night. Back here, as always, with my guy, Jack Heinrich. Jack, what's going on tonight, brother?
I didn't know it was Tuesday. I can't remember what day it is. But
they
only,
all blend
only
in.
A couple more days, and then we're back on the normal calendar.
Well, it'll feel like a normal calendar for sure, but I feel like when hockey season starts, I feel like the days all just blend in together. And so, what a week in Blackhawks land. Kind of started out a little tough because the Hawks were still dealing with a winless skid that stretched to five games after the loss last Friday to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they finally got off the schneid last night against the San Jose Sharks in a big way, a 6-3 victory over the Sharks. And they were led by the third line that combined for 10 points. Ilya Mikheyev had a goal and three assists. Ryan Donato had two goals and two assists after having 4 points in his previous 14 games. Jason Dickinson had 2 points. And typically that line is a line that goes up against the opposition's top line, where they're playing more of a shutdown type role. But I'm sure it was nice for them to kind of loosen up and play some offensive hockey. And so it's always fun, especially when you're a player or players that aren't relied upon offensively to contribute in an offensive score sheet when they have big nights. It really does a lot for the confidence. But Jack, I want to talk about the Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini matchup, because that was the headline going into the game. Now, that was the fourth time the Blackhawks and Sharks have squared off over the last 2 years. However, Macklin Celebrini did not participate in those first two games last year in October because he was dealing with an injury that he suffered in the preseason, and then he re-aggravated it in the season opener. And so that was our second career NHL matchup for Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard facing each other at the NHL level. And boy, did they deliver. I mean, those two players are such, they're very special in their own way. But it was cool to see the growth that both of them have had. Celebrini from year one to year two. I mean, Celebrini to me is already a top five player in the entire NHL. And I could totally see why Team Canada turned him into a lock for the Canadiens for the Olympic roster. And then Connor Bedard is on his way to becoming that, was probably in that conversation prior to suffering the shoulder injury on December 12th, because he was tied for third with Celebrini in the NHL scoring race in December prior to going down with an injury. And it was just fun to watch. The interesting thing about it, Jack, though, is when we asked Connor and Celebrini about facing each other, both of them really dismissed, like Connor downplayed the fact that he was playing Macklin, and he's like, to me, it's, you know, Blackhawks Sharks. Then we go over to the San Jose locker room, and Celebrini says the same thing. He's like, you know, we're friends. We, you know, we love competing against each other, but, you know, it's Chicago, San Jose. And I do think, though, there is like a competitiveness between them where they are friends off the ice, but when they're on the ice, they really want to beat each other. And we're going to be really fortunate moving forward for the next 15, hopefully plus years, where Celebrini and Bedard are the talk of the Western Conference for many years to come.
Yeah, and it seems like those two teams are, I think Jeff Blashill talked about it, they're on kind of like a, if the Hawks want to get to where they want to go, they're going to probably have to go through him, the Sharks and Anaheim. And the two teams' fan bases are always fiery, too. I see that a lot, because they're like, oh, our core's better. No, your core's better. You know, they go back and forth, but I kind of like what Steve Conroy said yesterday. It's like, oh, yeah, they're buddy-buddy, but if they ever meet in a playoff series, they might start to not like each other. But right now we can enjoy them going back and forth and, I guess, fake offering a fight at center ice since Connor Bedard was mic'd up yesterday.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see the first time that those two players meet in the playoffs. like Steve mentioned yesterday on the post game, was I think it was a post game show or pregame show, intermission.
It's probably both.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Where there were two buddies that ended up playing in the NHL when they were really close off the ice, and then they end up playing each other in the playoffs, and things got so heated that they like never spoke for 10 years. And so, you know, there is something about when you meet in the playoffs and kind of like that friendship is just out the window for 2 weeks while you play in that series. But I think it does generate a larger conversation. And I've seen this. I saw it leading up to the game between the Blackhawks and Sharks of who's ahead of the rebuild or which rebuild would you take right now? And I almost feel like they kind of took similar paths, but I think Kyle Davidson right now is still taking a more patient approach, which I agree with. The San Jose Sharks are taking the opposite, where they feel like they have their core players established and they're trying to kind of speed up this competitive window. Artemi Panarin, former Blackhawks superstar, hasn't been playing with the New York Rangers. He's been scratched for essentially roster management reasons because he's a pending UFA and that the Rangers are dead last in the Eastern Conference. And so they're looking to move on from Panarin, and the Sharks are like in the middle of the conversation. And it's kind of like, you know, I look at the Sharks, that the Sharks don't have the same amount of draft picks that the Blackhawks have. Panarin is 34 years old too. But then you look at the moves that San Jose made earlier in the year, a few weeks ago. The Sharks ended up acquiring Kiefer Sherwood, who's having a career year with the Vancouver Canucks. He's a pending unrestricted free agent, 30 years old. So he's not really a player that you think, oh, like this is the big fish. But they gave up a couple of draft picks to go out and get Kiefer Sherwood. And then they trade with Chicago. They acquire Laurent Brossoit to be a third goaltender. And so they're trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to push that for, you know, a competitive playoff spot. Now, here's my read on the situation. With Chicago, the Blackhawks are a big market. They have the ability to undergo a full-scale rebuild and be patient with it. A team like San Jose, when you're not necessarily among the top in the NHL or maybe like the top half of just revenue sharing, it's really hard to undergo 4 or 5 plus years of losing until you get all the good guys. And so I think San Jose was like, we've had a few tough years. We got our franchise player in Macklin Celebrini. They have a really nice young core that's forming with Michael Misa and Will Smith and William Eklund. And then on the back end, Sam Dickinson, what was is really kind of the only defenseman that they have, which is, I think, a larger concern for them. And kind of where the Blackhawks differentiate from the San Jose Sharks in the rebuild. But I think it has more to do with the San Jose Sharks being a team that's more of a smaller market, and the Blackhawks are able to kind of be a little bit more patient with it. And so I'm curious to see, though, the Blackhawks and Sharks in the Western Conference, just when they're going to meet in the playoffs. And I feel like they're going to be two teams that really are going head to head for many years to come, not just the Bedard and Celebrini comparisons. It feels like it's going to be team and team, where it feels like they're going to have to go through each other. In addition to Anaheim, you can throw the third team in there. Like, those three teams are really going to have to go through each other to get to the Stanley Cup coming out of the Western Conference in the next like 10, 15 years.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, right?
Get
back some playoff hockey. And I did I had like an eye on the CHSN pregame, and they were kind of going back and forth with all the young players. Like, I think they showed Will Smith and Nazar, and then the two goalies. I don't know how to say that guy's name, the Sharks goalie.
Oh, Yaroslav Askarov.
Yes, him and Spencer Knight. So I think there are some comparables, like you said, but they only have Sam Dickinson, and the Hawks have a ton of defensemen they're trying to sort through right now. But it is fun to see kind of these two teams on the come up, and it does, I know we've said it a bunch, it does. It was unfortunate that Bedard got hurt, because his numbers look down compared to Celebrini, but if you kind of look on a game to game, he's right there with over a point a game, but the overall numbers are going to hurt, and you just hope that he can put 82 games together, because then you're going to see that top end potential that was coming, and he's starting to show again here in the last week.
Yeah, no question. Let's dive into Bedard's last few games. He's now on a 3-game goal streak. He had just one goal in his previous 10 games. And the one goal was an empty netter against the Winnipeg Jets. So there wasn't even a goalie in the net for when he scored that. And so that's got to feel good for him. I actually thought Connor Bedard, upon returning from his shoulder injury, I actually thought he looked pretty good in the first two games against Washington and then the Nashville Predators, specifically the Nashville game when he had two really pretty assists. And it feels like the Edmonton game when he went down with the stomach bug, that's kind of where things started to turn for him and where it took him a few games to kind of get back to being the Connor Bedard that we saw in the first half of the season. And I wonder too how he was playing the center position. Obviously he's a center, but when he got back from the right shoulder injury, he hasn't been taking faceoffs. He hasn't taken a single faceoff since returning from the right shoulder injury. Sounds like that's going to be a thing when they reevaluate after the Olympic break, because they don't want to put any extra strain on that right shoulder, even though at this point he probably could take faceoffs, but you know, there's really no need to when you got a 3-week break coming up. But I wonder how much that has kind of played a role too, where Frank Nazar is the one taking the draws, but then Frank goes to the wing and then Connor has to retreat back to his center position. It's just like one extra step that you have to think about. But also Andre Burakovsky has been struggling quite a bit here over the last couple weeks, and it's not the Burakovsky that we saw in the first half of the season. So I wonder if the Burakovsky's game trailing off. I know him and Bedard are on separate lines right now, but when Bedard did return, he went back to being on a line with Burakovsky, and that kind of wasn't clicking. So it's nice to see Connor Bedard find the back of the net for the last three games. He's off the schneid, specifically the power play. I imagine it was really helpful for him to get back. Connor Bedard was actually mic'd up in the game last night. And after he scored the goal, CHSN panned the camera on him when he got back to the bench, and he screamed out, "Finally, you know, like we scored a power play goal after being 0-27 in the previous 11 games." And so it was great to see the power play break out as well. But yeah, Jack, it feels like Connor Bedard is starting to look like the player that we saw in the first half of the season, you know, finally with the right shoulder injury healthy and the stomach bug in the rearview mirror.
Yeah,
hopefully
for the whole team, it seems like.
Yes,
because they're all going to be dispersing here in a few days, so that might be good. But he does look a lot better, and you could see it the past few games, even before he was scoring. You could see him. What was that game? Pittsburgh. They got shut down, and that was his first goal back. But he looked really good, and they asked Jeff Blashill about him after, and he's like, "Well, he was great." You know, like the rest of the team like struggled, but he's like, "He was great." And so it is good to see him get rolling again, because it. For me, at least, like when you have like an injury like that on his shoulder with his shot, you want to see how that works, and it looks fine right now. So that's a good sign, and hopefully he finishes it off strong tomorrow, and then he gets a few weeks off, and then that shoulder's really in a good spot for the end of the season.
All right, let's dive into an injury report sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. Nick Foligno missed the last couple of games because he tweaked something. Different injury than the hand injury that he suffered earlier in the year that forced him to miss almost 6 weeks of action. He was on the ice for morning skate yesterday, on the ice for practice on Sunday, but left a little bit early, didn't partake in line rushes. He was a full participant at practice today, and I think he was kind of in and out of line rushes, but it seems like he's tracking for a return tomorrow. And Nick Foligno is a guy that he was a longtime captain for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I know going back to Columbus means a lot to him. And so for him to kind of power through whatever injury that he's dealing with to make sure that he was available to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets, I'm going to be curious to see. Coming out of the Olympic break, I mean, the NHL trade deadline is on March 6th. So when the Blackhawks return to action, I think on late in February, February 25th or 26th, the trade deadline is going to be like a week and a half away. So it's going to be all systems go as far as league movement. I'm wondering if where Nick Foligno's head is at. The fact that he wanted to return for the Columbus game makes me feel like this could potentially be the final year of Nick Foligno, not just in Chicago, but he might decide to hang it up when the season ends. And I'm going to be curious to see what kind of movement the Blackhawks are going to do at the trade deadline with some of their pending UFAs. But with Nick Foligno specifically, he's meant so much to this organization and helping lay the foundation for the next great Blackhawks team. I mean, he's been an awesome captain. And so, I mean, we'll see what happens after the Olympic break, but, it's cool to see him kind of muster up whatever he has right now to make sure that he's available for the game tomorrow against the Columbus Blue Jackets, where he was a longtime captain.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, he seems like he's battling through whatever, and he's like, I mean, he got dinged up like in the Tampa game and then like the Pittsburgh game, and you know, he's missed a few, but that's one thing I do like is when they've traded for him, it seemed like Taylor Hall was the headliner, and then he was kind of like, you know, and then he becomes the captain, and he was on Boston when they were like the best team in the NHL, and he comes to a Hawks team that's like in a rebuild and struggling, and he just kind of dove right into the team. I remember when they signed him, he was having Bedard over, because that was when he got drafted. He's having Bedard over to his house. He's having everybody right over to his house. So I do like the jokes about the young guys calling him like old or whatever. I mean, I think one time they had a TikTok. They're like, what's old? And they're like, whatever Foligno is.
Yeah.
So the way he's endeared himself to the locker room on a team like when he, as a veteran like that, and when he didn't have to, it's been really cool to see.
No question. All right, we got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Mike Palm from Circa is going to join us next for a look around the NHL and maybe a little bit of an Olympic preview. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize stay and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. Someone will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks Centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people get a $100 credit on their Circa app account. Enter once and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win, home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. Let's go to the phone lines in and bring in our guy, Mike Palm from Circa, to do our check-in one last time before we head off on the Olympic break. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Charlie, how are you, buddy? Pretty good.
Not too bad. First off, I got to start here. Did you watch the outdoor game over the weekend between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Boston Bruins? And was that the best outdoor game that we've seen to date?
I was in Chicago.
Oh.
Having dinner at Trey Dita at the St. Regis. We did a very quick in and out. I did not see the first period. I did get back to the hotel to see about the last 6 minutes of the second period and then the entire third period in overtime. So I missed the fight, the goalie fight.
Oh, that's okay. The game went to 5-1, and I ended up muting my TV and just had it on in the background. And then I happened to look up and I saw Vasilevsky and Swayman throwing haymakers, and I unmuted the TV. Like, how the heck did this happen? So, it was a very entertaining game. But, let's start here. The Florida Panthers, the Blackhawks have their first round pick this season. And I don't think any of us expected truly that Florida was going to be on the outside looking in at the playoff picture. They played a massive game last night against the Buffalo Sabres and lost in regulation. I mean, that's essentially a 4-point swing. They're now 9 points out of the playoff picture. I mean, at this point, like, it might be too insurmountable for the Panthers to not play themselves back into the playoff picture. Are we ruling them out, or is there still time for them to make a significant run here after the Olympic break?
The problem in the East is there's so many teams you're competing with.
Right.
Everything is so bunched up, so it's really hard. Think about that. And think about the fact that the Panthers have been incredible in one-goal games. They're like 15-3-4 or something, and they're still in this predicament. I played the Sabres tonight just because I was going to play against both the Lightning and Boston Bruins coming off that game where they just gave it their all in the Winter Classic. I'll play the Panthers tomorrow night hosting the Bruins on TNT, and I played the Sabres tonight, who got down 2-0 in the Rat Bend and Sunrise the other night, and they don't care. They're a little bit like the baby Sharks, right? They just don't care where they're at. They just keep charging hard, and they've got a lot of talent. I mean, if the Sabres goaltending holds up, I think they're a playoff team. We've seen them have long stretches where they can string wins together. So I'm not counting out Paul Maurice, and I'm not counting out the two-time champs and three straight trips to the finals. You can't count them out, but they've got a long road to hoe.
I will say this. It honestly might not be the worst thing for Florida to miss the playoffs and just get a full summer of recharging and resting after three consecutive Stanley Cup final appearances. I know that they're not thinking that way, but I mean, it might not be a bad alternative for them if they end up like they're going to be right back at it next year if they do miss out on the playoffs and be a legit Stanley Cup contender and maybe even the favorite.
Yeah, I think Tampa will be tough to overcome in their division too if they make the playoffs. Although if they get the wild card, they might shuffle into the Metro side of it. And I don't know. I'm not a believer still in Carolina, so
neither am I.
Out, but I get your point that after 3 years of Stanley Cup finals and very, very short off seasons, to reset might be the best medicine for them.
All right, let's stick in the Eastern Conference. I want to talk about the Artemi Panarin sweepstakes. The New York Rangers have obviously healthy scratched him for a few games for roster management reasons. All signs point to him getting moved ahead of the March 6th trade deadline. However, the NHL rosters freeze tomorrow before the Olympic break. Do you think we're going to get a potential Panarin trade between now and tomorrow? So that way, if a team does want to acquire Panarin, they have that like mini training camp coming out of the Olympic break. Or do you think that's something we're going to see closer to the deadline when, you know, everyone's feet are going to be held to the fire?
No, I think the teams are going to wait to see if they lose any players during the Olympics too. Let's not forget how damning the Four Nations was with all the injuries, especially on the American side and those butchers, the Minnesota Wild training staff, who every single year have players injured, and yet we keep sending Bill Guerin as our best, right? I mean, we're sending Guerin and Sullivan to go against John Cooper, who, by the way, had one of the worst outfits I've ever seen. That ridiculous Miami Vice, Cuban, whatever thing he was wearing. The winter, these outdoor games, Charlie, I've said it for 4 years now, enough is enough. We're playing them in Florida. Now, they hit a home run next year because they get to play at Rice-Eccles and have Abs and Mammoth. So that's okay. But when we're manufacturing, it's going to be in Dallas. It's in Tampa and Miami. Luckily, they had a cold spell in Florida. The Iguanas were freezing, and it was 40 degrees instead of 75 for the game in Tampa. But if you look at the ratings of the Winter Classics, from their inception until 2009, they averaged like 4.4 million viewers, okay? From 2019 till now, they're down to like 1.3 million. I mean, the interest in this is totally gone. The buzz is gone, and we need to move on because we're just creating venues to have it in.
Yeah, it's honestly, I've kind of accepted that it's not really a spectacle anymore, and it's really just for the local markets that are hosting, right? Like, I'm sure it was a great event over in Tampa Bay, but I don't think the casual fan is really tuning into these outdoor games anymore because it's just a little bit watered down.
They should have it on. They should have one game on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or whatever, and that's it.
You know what they should do? They should target the week before Super Bowl where there's nothing happening, because it feels like now they're like even around the used to be obviously New Year's Day, but it's like college football now. It's just like completely dominates now that they've expanded to however many playoff teams, and so it feels like they're always competing with football. I want to be opposed if the NHL just kind of targeted a weekend where there was no NFL, no college football, and they're, you know, they could just kind of have their own day. But I don't know, maybe they've thought about it, who knows. All right, I want to ask you about the Olympics. We got that coming up here. Team Canada is dealing with quite a few injuries right now with Brayden Point. We got earlier today, Anthony Cirelli won't be on the team because of an injury. So Sam Bennett is named the replacement, but Sam Bennett is also dinged up. There's been no Brad Marchand. Devontae's just returned to the lineup the other day after missing 12 games. Feels like a lot of players are dealing with some injuries. What are you expecting from these Olympics? Are we headed for a collision course for USA Canada, or are there other teams that we got to make sure that we're not sleeping on?
I don't know. I think the Sweden probably has the best goaltending. I don't know how much offense they can generate, but I think that they're interesting. I don't know. You know, I used to think that the Americans had an advantage in nets. But, you know, the American goaltenders are more talented than the Canadians, but I think they're head cases, too, between Hellebuck and Ottinger. And then, you know, what's going to happen with Canada? Can you really play Jordan Bennington, a guy that's saved 85% of his shots this year? I know he's come up big for them before in a Stanley Cup final and in the Four Nations final, and Cooper trusts him. I tend to think Darcy Kuemper is probably going to be their option. But if you're looking for a betting angle in the Olympics on hockey, you should forget about the men's side and bet the U.S. women. You can still get the U.S. women at minus 125. They played this series with Canada again, who's their next best team, their closest competition, six games. They averaged beating them 5 goals a game. And I know that year that the Canadian women won it with Cassie Campbell-Pascal, and the American women had beaten them 8 straight, except the gold medal game Canada won. All those games were close. The average margin in those 8 games was less than 2 goals a game. So that's not the case here. The American women tower above the Canadian women, and I think at minus 125, or even, I would say, at minus 150, I think that's the steal of the Olympics.
I love it. Mike, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We're going to be off for the next couple of weeks, but I look forward to revisiting our conversation post-Olympics and recapping all that went down in Milan. Have a great next couple of weeks, and we'll talk again down the road.
Enjoy your time off, Charlie. Thanks.
All right. That is Mike Palm from Circa. Really quick, we just want to piggyback off the conversation with the Team Canada roster and kind of tie it to a Blackhawks angle with all these injuries that have happened with Team Canada, where Braden Point is out of the lineup. Brad Marchand has been out of the lineup for Florida. Anthony Cirelli was injured in that outdoor game. He's been replaced by Sam Bennett, who's also dinged up. And I wonder if that could potentially open the door for Connor Bedard to play his way back onto the roster or just be an injury replacement for Team Canada. But it feels like if Braden Point can't go, it'll probably be like Zach Hyman, because it sounds like they pegged Braden Point to be on a line with Connor McDavid. And Zach Hyman, I think he's like second or third in the NHL in goals, like, since he returned to the lineup. He's been so good. And so I still feel like Bedard has an outside chance of making the Olympic roster. But my goodness, there have been so many injuries across the league, specifically with Team Canada's roster, that it does feel like they might have to reshape their outlook on things and what their top nine is going to be, their middle six specifically. And so we'll see, just something to monitor moving forward. If there are any more injuries, could Connor Bedard potentially be named to Team Canada as an injury replacement? Now, the first game isn't until February 12th. That is the first Olympic game for Team Canada specifically. Teams have up until that first game to finalize their roster, like to kind of name some injury replacements. So while the NHL season gets put on pause on Thursday, and the trade deadline, the mini trade deadline is tomorrow, where the roster's going to freeze, teams do have an extra week to kind of figure out, I should say countries have an extra week to figure out who may or may not be available for the Olympics. So again, something to monitor as we move forward here and get ready for the Olympic Games. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here and Jack Heinrich. And I want to close out the show by giving some love to Connor Murphy, who played in his 800th career NHL game against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Friday. Fittingly, he grew up in the Columbus area, and that's kind of his hometown. So really cool milestone moment for him. But this past Monday's game very well could have been the final game at the United Center as a member of the Blackhawks for Connor Murphy, because the Blackhawks are about to embark on a 5-game road trip. They have one tomorrow to wrap up their kind of first half of the season going into the Olympic break. And then coming out of the Olympic break, the Hawks have a 4-game road trip. And the next home game at the United Center for the Blackhawks is March 6th against Vancouver. That just so happens to be trade deadline day. And so the deadline is going to be earlier in the day. So Connor Murphy, and yesterday, how fittingly, scored a goal, had a multi-point effort by adding an assist. He's got 4 goals now in his last 14 games after having 0 in his previous 42. But I think of a guy like Connor Murphy, and I mean, he's right up there as far as some Blackhawks players that have played in a ton of games. Like I was digging through some of the numbers. This coming Wednesday, so tomorrow, is going to be his 543rd career game with the Blackhawks. That's 13 most ever by a Blackhawks defenseman, 36th overall. To put that into perspective, I kind of elaborated a little bit more. He's played more regular season games in a Blackhawks sweater than Marian Hossa and Jeremy Roenick. I mean, that's how long Connor Murphy has been here for. And I just wanted to give Connor Murphy some love that if we are trending in a direction where Murphy is going to be traded out of Chicago ahead of the deadline, I mean, he's been such a pro here in Chicago. And, you know, I think of the way, like last year when Seth Jones voiced his displeasure of wanting to get moved to a contender because this isn't what he signed up for. Like, if there was any player on the Blackhawks to really maybe voice that, it was probably Connor Murphy, that he's been here since 2017, part of the Nicholas Jalmerson trade. And he never once did that. He was always a pro from start to finish. He's been a leader inside that locker room. He's been a great representative of the Blackhawks and the city of Chicago inside the community. And man, it didn't really hit me until today that last night could have been his last game as a member of the Blackhawks at the United Center. And I just want to give Connor Murphy some love. And it was probably pretty tough for him too to get traded to Chicago and win over the Blackhawks fan base because he was part of the deal that sent Nicholas Jalmerson to Arizona. And obviously the Hawks were, Hawks fans really loved Nicholas Jalmerson for what he did here in Chicago. And for Connor Murphy to win over the fan base, so quickly, maybe it took a little bit of time, but for him to kind of go through some of the dark times here with the Blackhawks and see the other end of it as far as the upward trajectory for the rebuild, it might be a little bit unfortunate that he's not going to be part of this, long term. But, Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times wrote a beautiful story on Connor Murphy, and he was like, you know, if I do get moved, I'm rooting like crazy for the city of Chicago, the fan base to get back to being a winner. And so I admire what Connor Murphy has done here with the Blackhawks and the impact that he's made. And so, just wanted to give my flowers to Connor Murphy that if he is in fact, if his career with the Blackhawks is, winding down, I think Chicago fans should be very thankful for what he did, but also I think there are going to be a lot of Blackhawks fans that root for Connor Murphy wherever he goes, hoping for him to get a Stanley Cup and play some meaningful games deep into June, because 800 plus career NHL games, he has yet to taste the postseason. The only postseason he did taste was the bubble during the COVID year, and I don't really count that. So hopefully Connor Murphy, if he does get moved, we can thank him for his services, but also root for him at his next destination, hoping he can go chase a ring. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. We're going to be off for the next couple weeks. So our next show is going to be Monday, February 23rd at 7:00. We will talk to you then.